Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
The Minute Mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. A Friday before big playoff games that don't involve the Steelers for another year. BMAC, Brian McFadden, coming out with us earlier this hour and saying the standard is no longer the standard. Adam Schefter on the Pat McAfee Show a little while ago, saying, I do not expect major changes to the Steelers coaching staff, expecting what he calls minor tweaks to the coaching staff. Mark Cabali, also employed by Pat McAfee, in studio with us right now. Donnie Football here for a few more minutes, then he's off to watch Shane Gillis and his comedy routine, another McAfee guest, and Mulsey here as well. Mark, is that what you're hearing? Minor tweaks?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's been implied ever since the start of this. I mean, you just look up and down the coaching staff, and if you're not moving on from the head coach, you're not going to move on from the GM. Obviously, the owner's not stepping down. What possible changes you can make to make a difference? I mean, you could look at the defensive coordinator. You could look at the offensive line coach.
How about the offensive coordinator?
No, I don't think he's even in the conversation.
Do they need minor tweaks, or do they need more than that?
Ooh, that's hard. Coming after a 5-game losing
that's
streak.
That's hard. That's well, the easiest question no, you get all day here.
After a 5-game losing streak, you just want to jump and say, absolutely major changes. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know what they think. I think that's more important than what I think.
Well, it is possible. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar operation. If they wanted to fire the coordinators and start over with their coaching staff under Tomlin, they could do that in a second. They wanted to.
Yeah, but
that's what the Eagles did last year when they collapsed. They got rid of both coordinators, and look at how much it helped them. Vic Fangio turned their defense around, Mark, with basically the same guys other than some rookie corners.
Yeah, I just don't think they're going to do that. I mean, this organization is not like that. I mean, you can sit here and argue that maybe it should be because this, you know, the Eagles have been so successful over the years. But if Arthur Smith's under contract for 2 more years, Arthur Smith is probably likely going to be here 2 more years. If Terrell Austin's under contract for 1 more year, he's going to be here for 1 more year. I mean,
but
that's just the organizational philosophy.
I understand that, but why let a contract get in the way of progress? Why let one where you could have Thomas Tall write a check for $2 million tonight and say, let's move on and do better?
Wasn't the problem that Thomas Tall would then want more genuine say-so? If he's allowing you to part ways with the guy, then he's going to want to have a louder voice?
I mean, isn't that basically what college football coaches have to deal with in administration all the time?
I think it's more Art Rooney has to deal with a minority owner who's willing to cut the check than getting in his ear and saying, but I want, there's conditions attached to me buying this out for you.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to go down that route to have the minority owners have any say so whatsoever. So all of a sudden,
all right. Well, then why not Bart write the check then? I mean,
I think
exactly
that's my real question.
For money.
Well, that's just been how they go about business. I mean,
but Mark,
I understand
that.
Is that viable
business
in the NFL to go about business this way?
All of a sudden, to say you change your entire lifestyle is just not practical.
All of a sudden, though, they haven't won a playoff game in 8 seasons.
But yes, but they're just not going to change. So we sit here and go in circles and
Mark,
circles
yes,
and
they
circles.
Do, though. They traded a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick. They gave guaranteed money to T.J. Watt. They traded a rookie quarterback after – or first-round quarterback after 2 years.
That was
– they have changed some things. That, they fired Matt Canada midseason.
That was more personnel. Well, that was different there. But the personnel – well, midseason, they owed him what? Four more weeks of pay? Five more weeks of pay? It's not like they really – lost. It's not like they replaced him with money, too, if you recall. They just replaced him with
I know,
two
but
guys.
With all due respect, the way that you're making this sound is, sorry, baseball fans, but it sounds like a Pirates thing, where like we're haggling over a guy that's owed like $2 million tops and you know justifying his existence with the franchise because of what his contract says?
Well, let me ask you this. Would you be okay if they did bring in a senior defensive assistant basically work hand-in-hand with a guy like Terrell Austin?
No, because I saw them do that 2 years ago, and they didn't give the guy enough power, and they didn't keep him around.
Yeah, I wouldn't want any big-time defensive name coming in here, because unless it came with an explicitly stated mission statement that person's running the defense now, and Mike is moving to more of a CEO role, where he oversees the whole
Mark,
thing.
Mark, you said that on the showdown. You've said that multiple
I've
times
said that
now.
Multiple times that they should do that. That doesn't mean they're going to do it.
I just think that their approach is very flawed because they're paying the guy roughly $16 or $17 million to be the head coach and expecting him to have his hands effectively in every part
know
of
if
the
they
operation.
Expect him. He chooses to do that.
Okay, and it's not working because he's not good enough at all of those things to have such a major role in all of those things. His game management suffers badly as a result.
Right.
His offensive instincts are incredibly conservative.
Good bosses.
And his defensive instincts, frankly, aren't good right now either because the Ravens just steamrolled his
good
guys.
Good bosses say stay in your lane or concentrate on this and not that. You're wearing yourself too thin.
But at this point, you're 18 years in. I don't think you can go to the head coach and say that. You have to then move on, right? You can't say, we're taking this power, and this power away from the guy who's has 180
Any other
wins.
Team would have already moved on by now because they haven't gotten anything that they claim is their standard, which is a playoff win in almost half of his tenure.
Yep. I mean, I'm just saying that you would have to move on from him
I
rather than take
that, Mark,
power.
I understand that, and I know you've been close to this team for a long time as far as how you've covered them. I'm merely saying that our listeners hear this isn't how they do things, or you'd have to move on from the head coach and have probably two rebuttals. It should be how you do things, and yes, move on from him. Like, it's a stale product. Even if they make the playoffs, they're cannon fodder.
Mark, if he asks his players to evolve and adapt and adjust, and his coaches underneath him and his scouting staff and all these things, why can't he do the same thing? This is what you're going to do. We're going to change your job responsibility or job description a little bit because we're not getting the results we want, Mike.
Well, you know, if you're basically the CEO of the company, which one's going to do that? I mean, the CEO of a company is not going to say, I'm going to bring somebody else in and listen to him, right?
But if the CEO is not, if they're not meeting their revenue goals, he might
have
to,
Mark. Well,
these
are two separate arguments here now.
Why? Do the Steelers actually think Mike's doing exactly what they want him to do? They can't think that way.
Well, they would have made the change if they didn't.
So a new contract is truly in every way an
affirmation.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you. An affirmation of the work he's doing. Well, then it's on Art Rooney, because at what point do you say, wait a minute.
It's the point now where it is on him.
Well, to be very clear, I think Mike is the second biggest problem in the organization. I think the biggest problem they are facing as they try to climb out of this hole of, like, frankly, mediocrity is the guy whose name is on the checks, because I think he has willfully gone along with that.
Well, to Chris's point, do you think that Art was the key reason why they drafted Pickett?
I've heard multiple things there. I don't think I know I've heard your theory.
Was there
about
any dissenting
Marino.
Voice that was not crazy about it?
No, you know, I heard Colbert loved him. I heard Tomlin loved him. I heard Art loved him. So it's hard to
okay,
it's hard.
I think they
it's
really
honestly
need to sell this team and find some people
is,
who know ball.
No, I'm sure that somebody loved him more than somebody else, but I'm just unsure of who that might be.
But it sounds like nobody had to do any convincing or getting somebody who was not on board with
it
on board with
it. They convinced themselves that they were in need of a quarterback, and when else were they going to be able to get the top guy in the draft? So I think they
picked literally the worst quarterback draft maybe in the last 15 years.
Well, in defense of them, Kenny had me tricked and Mark tricked as well, except Chris. Chris was...
After that preseason, you weren't jumping on the Kenny bandwagon?
I remember vividly what I said. I said, to his credit, he did everything you could expect a guy to do in the preseason to give you optimism, but I said, I'll wait till I actually see it.
I've never seen a guy have an absolute perfect preseason like he did. And that's what I would say, I would consider it a perfect preseason.
Mark, here's something that some of our listeners have brought up. They screwed up. They wasted Flores. He could have done more. They could have allowed him to bloom here. They didn't. He's moved on to Minnesota. Couldn't you say the same thing about Weidel? He comes from a place where they've had nothing but success. People rave about his college scouting and ability to put draft boards and draft ratings together. Why not give him some of this power that you're talking about? He's under your roof. You know, he could technically leave for a GM job any day because he doesn't have that title with you, so it would be a promotion for him.
Yet we haven't heard one team that's been linked to him, right?
Probably because there's a lot of stink on this team.
Which is pretty interesting. I thought somebody would at least inquire about him. But I think he's more effective, obviously, with the scouting department. I think he gets into Omar's ear a lot. So maybe it's behind the scenes. Maybe it's not out in front. But I think he has a big say-so in a lot of
decision-making. But getting in Omar's ear is one thing. How about getting in Mike T's ear?
I don't think anybody's going to get in his ear.
Oh, great.
I just don't see it.
I mean, I do think he can affect Mike. Like, I heard from what I consider to be a pretty reliable source that, like, Mike, if left to his own devices in Andy and Omar's first draft, would have taken Porter at 17. But that they convinced him, go up and get Jones. Porter's going to be there at 32. We can have both of the players that we all want. And Mike obviously assented to one degree or another.
That's like Swan and Stallworth with Noel in 74 is what you're describing there. Donnie, what's your reaction to all this? I don't know if your head is already contemplating the beers you're about to have and the wings you're about to eat before Shane Gillis, but as you hear this, only minor tweaks, there's no getting through to Tomlin.
Depressing. Unsurprising. Like, and I Mark is in there every single day, and it's not like he's just coming in here spewing anything he wants. It feels like...
Sounds like your son when he's on the commode there, Mark, is what that sounded like.
No, he doesn't spew. He just blocks.
Well, they could get him for the offensive line then if he blocks well.
Blocks better than their tackles the last time.
No, I think they'd probably mess it up unless it was Zach Frazier.
He'd suddenly level. Get it. They'd give him Metamucil as his first order of business.
Have you tried that, Mark?
They'd put him out of position.
It's not the length. It's the girth. It's like a softball.
Oh my God!
That's the problem.
And I think that for the out of context.
That
clip
just sounds
of
horribly
all time.
Painful.
It does. And, have you asked him about it? Does it hurt?
He comes and informs me that he blocks it up all the time. But I think I need a new plunger.
No, I think you need to give your child some fiber. Is what I think you need to do.
He eats everything, so it doesn't matter. I mean,
so you think it's just sheer like amount of food?
I think we've had this conversation before. That,
well, we wanted
that younger kids' colon's a little bit cleaner than older people, so it makes for bigger. Allows bigger things to come out.
I mean, it sounds like his is like one of those World War I trenches, Mark.
That's the kind of analysis we're paying Mark Cabali for, and so is Pat McAfee, folks. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Mark had that report about Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson. Based on that, we'll find out if Mark still is in favor of Russ coming back as quarterback next year. But first, a Donnie headline. As Joe Starkey has dubbed him, Steelers apologist Mark Cabali in studio.
Would Joe's reaction be if Mark dubbed him Steelers apologist Starkey?
I threw it back on him last time.
Was he incensed?
Oh, you really got me there.
That wasn't exactly a felt tip dart, was it?
Starkey, I love Starkey because it doesn't take much to get him really riled up.
Yeah,
you just disagree with him a little bit or suggest that he's incorrect, and he goes berserk.
Well, Chris has been on the wrong end of that. He probably still has PTSD from some of those
shows.
Well,
I realized quickly the way to go about it. Like, it was actually helpful to see people on Twitter going, just for the record, Chris, you're completely right. I don't know what he's talking about. And at that point, then I would start goading him into it. Like, I would actively try to make him
I would
him
never
angry.
Be able to work with him because that's all I would do is just try to get him fired up. I would just say stuff. Well, Joe, you know, one time I mentioned to him, he wrote a story about quarterback release time. I said, you know, that's almost impossible to detect, you know. I mean, if you're an eighth of a second off, and you multiply that over 17 weeks, he went berserk.
Chris claims that's how I beat him in the 40 when we were at Pit Pro Day.
Oh, and
my 40 time was
timing.
Better.
Our old buddy Ron Mann, who used to work here, was timing both of us, and I'm convinced that he was a half second slow, because everyone who watched the videos, and they're still available on Twitter, was like,
yeah.
Chris, you won that race. Like, you absolutely ran it faster. Pony looks like a guy who was learning to run for the very first time.
Honestly, I have no room to talk, but you guys look really, really unathletic doing that.
You know what I take as solace, though? Within, 3 weeks, I fully tore my meniscus, so I was probably running hurt.
Hear that, Mark?
Very Fortanu.
That's like Patrick Queen saying he had the flu.
I saw him after the game. He seemed fine to me. I don't know.
This reported falling out between Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith. You said Arthur Smith isn't going anywhere because he's got 2 years left on his deal.
I don't think so.
So I absolutely trust your reporting on this. That's got to spell doom for Wilson coming back here in 2025, right?
I don't think Russell's going to come back. No, maybe he should.
Were you devastated by this news because you've always been a Russ guy?
What do you make, by the way? Yeah, first that answer that. Second, why is he doing – is he just incapable, Russ is, of saying anything non-committal, and he's I really want to be back here. Why?
Yeah, he doesn't.
He's not capable of being we'll see what
happens.
Well,
you never know, too. They might have to go to him if, say, Justin goes somewhere else. Maybe Justin Fields doesn't want to be here. I don't know. Maybe he'll get thrown money by somebody else. I don't know. And then you have to maybe go back. So you never want to be definitive.
I'll tell you what, if they have to go back to Russell Wilson and that's how they're starting next year, I will be more demoralized than I am already by their chances.
If you go to Russell Wilson, you are saying we are not that far off, in my opinion.
Russell Wilson can't get you where you need to go. If you're a team that's teetering on the edge of being a Super Bowl contender, Russell Wilson pulls you in the wrong direction.
I'm just saying, they think that they're close. Now, if Justin comes...
Wait, they still think they're...
I'm just saying, if you bring Russell back.
He's saying what it would say.
Okay, if.
I was always a proponent. Everybody thought I was a big Russell guy. Yes, I thought Russell would fit perfectly what they were going to do this year, try to make a run at it with this great defense, which turned out to be struggled at times, and take a run at it. But I always thought Justin would be the smart thing moving forward, because not too many times you have the opportunity to get a top 10, top 11 pick in the draft. Even though he struggled, even if you looked at the numbers, him and Trubisky have very similar numbers.
Mark,
but
you framed it when the change got made, they're doing this because A, they think Russ, will elevate their offense and give them a chance. But B, you definitely painted the picture there are things in Justin Fields' game that are going to prevent him from ever being a good quarterback in the NFL.
I think he got better at it. I mean, you saw him in OTAs, and the accuracy was all over the place. I think he continued to get better. I think they were able to learn through OTAs.
So are you flip-flopping now?
No, I'm just saying. I think he's gotten better. Now, can he get to that point of where he can be a franchise quarterback? Probably not. But at this point, that's your best opportunity. That's your best chance. You're not going to get $45 million Sam Darnold.
Time out. It's not their best chance, though, because
it is.
But you've said that it was Russell Wilson, so you've changed your mind based on
this Russell
Smith
Wilson
report,
still
right?
is 36 years old. I still think Russell Wilson's able to do the job, but if you're looking to end this or close this purgatory of quarterback hell, you better find somebody.
But Mark,
you
it
can
sounds
grab
like Arthur it. Smith doesn't think Russell Wilson can do the job. So shouldn't that weigh on you significantly in how you analyze this situation or dilemma?
I just don't know if a coordinator has that much power say, I don't want this guy.
Shouldn't the guy you're tasking with running the offense have enormous amounts of say in who runs the offense?
But you have to understand, when they hired Arthur Smith, who was the quarterback? Kenny Pickett, right?
Yeah.
Then it got to Russell. I mean, it wasn't until Fields was secondary, third tier type of guy came in.
And I would hope, and maybe given some of the other things you've said, this didn't happen whatsoever. I would hope they at least said to Arthur Smith, hey, there's a chance we're gonna bring in Russ. Maybe they didn't know that Kenny would want out and that they would bring Fields in, but they at least asked him about the quarterbacks that they expected to pursue versus Pickett and got his opinion.
Yeah, I just don't think if he would have said, no, I don't want this guy, that it was going to make a difference.
I actually agree with Mark on that, Chris.
I'm not saying that I disagree with you guys. I'm saying a healthy franchise would have all of these things kind of lined up instead of saying, you're our offensive coordinator. Whatever we give you, deal with it.
Mark, the dynamic, though, that you presented in your article on X, like, I understand if it's Roethlisberger and Haley, and it's like, here's a coordinator with a great resume, with a pretty good resume, and here's a Hall of Fame quarterback, and like, try to make it work between these two guys. It's Russell Wilson at the tail end of his career.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want an oil and water dynamic between my coordinator and quarterback when it's these two, Rams bucking horns with each other.
I don't know the degree of the bucking heads or whatever you want to call it. I just know that sometimes they just didn't agree with what they were presenting each other. I mean, can you work that way?
What do you think?
I guess you can.
What do you think Arthur Smith wanted to do, and what do you think Russ wanted to do that caused this?
Well, you know, I saw a podcast clip of Roethlisberger, and it just was fascinating to me because he was talking about how Russ would go to the line of scrimmage and change a play a lot more. He goes, I would never change the play that much. He says, it's one of two things. It was either Russ was unsure what the heck was going on out there, and you find that hard to believe, or second, he just didn't like the play calls, and he wanted to change them. He goes, I wouldn't even change as many as that. So saying that,
just wait till the 2-minute drill so he could cut Haley out completely.
He said,
or he would lie and say the headset was out,
and then lobby that he do more 2-minute drill type of stuff because wow, it really worked in that game.
I thought that was very revealing of
it is. I agree with you,
Mark. It's just again indicative of overall dysfunction that they don't like. Based on the other things you've said, they don't seem to think exists. That I don't know. Maybe I'm not being clear enough. It just feels like there are way more problems than you are suggesting the team internally thinks there are.
I don't know if I can answer.
Well, let's play the Marlon Humphrey clip for Mark when we come back and get into Pickens a little bit, Georgie boy. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's like tag team wrestling. Donnie is tagged out. Charlie Borges is tagged in. They're like Luke and Butch. You remember that tag team?
Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. Which one's Jannetty?
How about Demolition with Axe and Smash?
What a rush.
Was that
Legion
them?
Of Doom?
Legion of Doom. Yeah. LOD, who is the best? I think I got to go Dudley Boys.
Well, Dudley Boys are in their Hall of Famers.
Who isn't in the Hall of Fame? Like that is a
Coco
very,
B. Wearing?
That's a very.
I just found out.
Hall
what was Coco's bird called? Name?
Freddie.
He died
Frankie.
A long time ago.
Frankie died in a fire.
He died in a house fire.
He died in
did
a house
he?
Fire.
I didn't know
fire.
That.
And he could hear him like
saying help.
Help yeah. me, I'm burning. Really?
It's really
yes,
sad.
Dude,
I did not
sad.
Know that.
Yeah, even I knew that, Mark.
Wow.
And I don't even get paid by the WWE. I just hang out with these guys.
I wasn't a big Coco Beware fan.
Is he in the Hall of Fame or not?
I don't know.
I don't think so. You know who was in the Hall of Fame? Bob Uecker.
How about Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Oh.
Anyways, Charlie's got a headline and we're back.
I feel like there's like an underlying thing there somewhere internally that reminds me kind of the Jets' current situation. Sometimes when I see quotes from Jets players, it seems like they're trying to speak in code and there's something that they want to say that they can't just say. How they kind of played in that Steelers game, in that game against us, it's like, and I know something that I ain't going to really say that I, but all right, that's that, yeah.
Marlon Humphrey, he did what I've done the last few days on the show. I bit my tongue. I caught myself about to say something I self-censored because I didn't want to get myself in trouble.
It's very unlike you.
I know. I'm maturing. I'm doing what George Pickens needs to do. But so, Mark, put your detective hat on. So Humphrey knows Patrick Queen. He knows Deshaun Elliott. He went to school with Najee Harris and who was the other guy? Chris Minka.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from the same town as George Pickens. The same, not small town, but the same town.
Yeah.
What do you think is this thing he knows and this underlying thing that he sensed with the Steelers?
Well, I think we all sensed that after the Kansas City game. They all, I mean, a handful of those guys wanted to really come out and say something and kept biting their tongue.
And what is that thing that they want to say? You know.
I
Are
really
you doing
don't.
The same thing as Marlon Humphrey?
I really don't
Tony,
know,
do you know
specifically.
I don't, but what's your guess, your best guess?
Well, I think there's, and I think it's coming, probably. It only makes sense, the guys he's probably been in touch with the most recently. So who was the most too vocal Elliott and Queen, right? So those guys probably still talk.
The ex-Ravens.
I'm just trying to piece everything together here. So maybe they're like thinking, hey, we're coming to the Steelers. And once again, this is total hypothetical, just putting together here. But let's go to the Steelers. They do things different here. These guys are all pro, blah, blah. These guys are all pro stars, whatever. It's not quite like that, man. I don't know. Maybe
see, to me, it's as simple as, did George Pickens just say, I really want to get traded or something like that, or I want to be out of this place?
In my experience, usually defensive people don't really talk about offensive people that way, and offensive people don't talk about defensive people that way. They usually stay in their lane. So I can't see a defensive player saying, this George Pickens guy, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Okay.
I mean, same with leadership, you know? I mean, there's a lot of leadership thing. There's a lot of leaders on the defense, but there's no way that Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick's going to go and talk to that offensive guy. That's been the problem. There's no offensive leaders because they're all young.
I disagreed with Tomlin on something. He said that the bickering was a good thing.
Well, he's just
that's coping,
massaging it.
SBS. I would say that a better term was finger-pointing was going on late in the year, passing the buck or putting the blame on other people.
If they're saying that to us publicly and you can tell there's something not right going on, what's going on when they say, okay, locker room's closed, guys?
Or when they're in their meeting rooms or they're out to dinner with each other. Yeah.
I mean, you would just have to assume that there's more that's being said.
This is why, like, when this stuff's happening, Mark, and we're talking about this, I remain amazed that at the highest levels of that organization that this stuff only seems to justify, oh, we'll make some tweaks and not like, hey, alarm bells. This is really fundamentally more broken than it has ever been in Mike's tenure.
I just don't think they want to portray that image of it being okay, totally broken.
Let's say that they just don't want to portray the image. That at least presupposes that they understand the depth to which it is broken and they're trying to put a good face on it. If that is your theory, I'll feel a little better. There's part of me that thinks that those guys there, they've never experienced like a bottom out 4-13 or 3-13 season in the old schedule. And so you just can trick yourself and say, yeah, we're close every time. It's not that bad. Stuff happens with every team.
You know, somebody posed a question to me the other day. You think the Steelers would fans, the Yinzers, would give Mike Tomlin a pass if he did have a 4-13 year, if it's the rebuild year? I think they would hammer the living crap out of him.
I agree with you on that, because I probably would.
Yeah.
Mark, if I knew that though, that was like the I would probably hammer him less because I would pray that was the avenue towards actually drafting the kind of quarterback that would change their fortunes long term. But no, I think also Art Rooney would be flabbergasted if they had a year that
Mark,
bad.
Mark, do you think that Art thinks they had a good year?
Think and say. I know he's going to come out here next week or a week and a half from now, and he's going to have to talk negatively as much as Art can talk negatively because he knows
what the customer is saying about his team.
Now, behind closed doors,
what's your gut tell you on it?
Probably he's a little frustrated, I would imagine.
Oh, a little.
But not as frustrated enough to make.
When would he get very frustrated? I'm not asking you to troll or to try to like start a fight. How much longer will this have to go? And I mean this to say no playoff wins and really being non-competitive in playoff games.
I mean,
how many years is this dragging on? If Mike does,
we get
here,
to 10 if we
let
get
me
the
ask
double
you this.
Digits.
Mike's got what, 3 years left?
Yeah, that's what I'm
if
saying.
Mike does not win or come even close in a playoff game in the next 3 years, and by that I also mean doesn't win the division and like get the first round bye somehow, right? So if he just gets
God, I can't
I know that. I have to cover my bases here because Mark would have said, what if he gets the first round bye, Mulsey?
Yeah.
See, I know who I'm talking to. If he gets routed in how many ever wild card rounds he plays over the next 3 years, would that be enough for Art to say, even if there's a bunch of 9-8s or 10-7s, would that be enough for Art to say, okay, now I am actually upset you are not getting a new contract?
Yeah, I think that was he signed through 2027.
That's right.
That lame duck year would be 2027. I don't think it would get to that. I think they would part ways before.
So he might be on a 2-year prove it plan.
2-year probation.
I mean, if he has another bad,
So if they go 10-7 and get smoked next year in the first round again,
he's on.
Then suddenly the ice is going to get thin?
It's still going to be bringing back, let's see. Well, then if it happens again, then I think that's when they would then strongly consider moving on.
Strongly consider.
I can't say with
No, I'm not asking you to say definitively.
I can't because we know how this works.
It's just an unbelievable window into how art views like this whole process to me, and I mean that negatively. That would you're describing a decade without a playoff win, and in my hypothetical, they're not close. Like these games don't even resemble real games. They fall behind so fast and by so much.
And I still can't believe you picked him to win. Oh
I
my
did
God!
Pick him to win.
Yeah,
I did.
A worm infected your brain.
I just thought, you know what?
He's going to be the Health and Human Services
director.
Said,
mark
then.
My words, here comes a guarantee. They're going to go there and you put that final score out there.
I thought they were going to win. I thought they were going to be able to reclaim
you
what they
You were riding the
did.
Russ bus.
You said they have heart.
I thought in the middle of the season, I remember saying, I don't even want to bring this up because people might forget. I said, I can see this team just being a team's different, I said, right?
A team of destiny.
This team is just not – you could tell that they're going to be in it until the end. And boy, was I wrong.
Mark, how about DeFabo, your old colleague, with this the serendipity of he's running late, so he runs into George running late to the Christmas game. They don't want to bring George through the area where the cameras are on him showing up late, so they usher him through the media entrance to get to a game after the inactives are out. And he's so late that they can't even see how his hamstring looks in warm-ups before putting out that inactive report, and then he's not on the same page with Russ in that game, and Tomlin tried to play dumb at the press conference.
That's the first time I ever heard him a loss for words, huh?
He really was just stumbling and bumbling there.
He didn't know which way to go. That's probably...
He was hubbada-hubbada-hubbada there.
I don't know which way he went there at all, so I don't think he knew. Yeah, I mean, I was...
Wait, you don't think he knew that Pickens was late?
I don't think he knew he was going to be asked that question.
How? I just cannot believe that happened that way.
Normally, he's pretty quick on his feet, but his...
And he's got such a good PR staff, they usually say, this thing might come your way today,
Mike. I mean, maybe the 3 weeks or whatever it was...
That was some days ago.
Honestly.
Said, oh, yeah, okay.
I still can't believe DeFabo sat on that for 3 weeks.
Well,
What the heck was that?
Well, somebody else in this room might have saw that too and didn't really think too much of it because I figured, well, maybe 90 minutes ain't that bad for him.
Seriously?
What?
Well, I've heard he's serially late for things that his target
I don't know. I was well aware. I mean, I'll show you a text message I sent somebody on Christmas Day saying, guess it was late.
Huh.
I honestly figured that 90 minutes or whatever it was just considered normal for
so
him.
It's on George time. That's on time. It's the opposite of Tom Coughlin time.
I really didn't think twice of it at the time.
They're going to trade him, right? If I had to put you to just yes or no, is he going to be a Steeler in 2025?
I can't say that right now. It's going to depend what happens in free agency.
Mark, okay, I'm just asking
you can't get rid of the guy if you don't have anybody.
Mark, some
you
of
don't.
The things, and we started the show with this, they seem small, but when you add them up, it amounts to big stuff. Like, it's now been widely reported by people that were there that he takes a bus over to the game with no players and just sponsors and Steelers staff. He doesn't want to be with his teammates on a bus to a playoff game. All the receivers, Mike Williams, Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, are out there in early warm-ups with Russ getting ready before they change into their uniform, and he's not out there. Coming off two games where he wasn't on the same page with the guy. It's like you add that up, and to Chris's point, it looks like he doesn't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, but I don't know if you can, I don't think you can go.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
That route yet, cut your nose off to spite your face when you potentially need
him. So wait a minute.
You really have to.
You're the person who said this. They can't bring him back without a new contract. So what the hell are they going to do?
Well,
you can't give that guy a contract.
I said that 3 weeks or whatever, months ago, or whatever it was.
So, right, and then you just said, like...
But you have to have somebody in place at this time. That's why I think the free agency is going to clear this up a whole lot.
You think they're going to go after T. Higgins?
I think they're going to go after somebody significant.
The big goon from Cincinnati, as Tomlin likes to call him. He's gooning it up out there and not the way that the kids are talking about gooning.
Davante Adams, whoever it is, it's going to be somebody who's comparable to George's talents. Then you can move on. And you talk about getting healthy in a hurry, getting better in a hurry. If you're able to, you got a ton of money to spend. What do you have, 30, 40 million bucks to potentially spend?
A ton of money for them, not compared to the rest of the teams in the NFL.
Okay, you can afford, given this guy, whoever it is, if it's Davante Adams, if it's T. Higgins, how unlikely that might be, some money. Then switch George for some draft picks, and all of a sudden, we got something here.
Let's go to the telephones. Todd in Pittsburgh has a take on this. Hello, Todd.
Does anybody anymore in a locker room, like, you know, TJ or Cam, come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
Mark, why hasn't anybody gone up to him and had that conversation?
What are you doing?
It looked like Broderick and Russell and Freiermuth might have, right?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Speaking of,
I think that is an issue, though. Honestly, I think that the offense is so young and so inexperienced that they don't have anybody to take.
Do you think anybody?
Well, time out. Yes, they did. They had Russell Wilson this year. Yeah,
well, he's only been here for
who
six
cares?
Months.
He's won a Super Bowl.
I just don't.
He's got
think,
no gravitas, huh?
You don't. I mean, what B-Mac says, you don't have one of those Steeler for life guys. You know, one of those have been brought up on the culture. You don't have that guy. You don't have the Pouncey.
Do you think it would even matter with George? I mean, would it even matter?
Oh, I tell you, one guy who would put him in place, Marquise Pouncey would have put him in place. There ain't no doubt in my mind.
And then what? He'd have said, so what?
Nah, Pouncey, he controlled that locker room.
So what would he have done, like giving him a tombstone pile driver?
He might have.
choke slams George Pickens into the floor.
He would have went up to him and say, "What's going on there?"
You make it sound like Sam Alu came from a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's extremely, extremely reserved and quiet. He's just that's not.
You've
his
also described him as like the most frightening person.
To me, he's very frightening just looking at it, but he doesn't say much.
I would imagine a guy that big would probably be enough to frighten Pickens if you think it's possible.
Who in the world's going to go up to him and say anything right now? Who has any sort of pull? Nobody.
Well, the problem is that their offense has so many bad players on it, he can just say, "I'm better than you," and he's not even wrong, technically.
Yeah, I mean, is he going to listen to Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin?
What
is
about
he going
Najee?
To Broderick?
Yeah.
Says it all.
All right,
well, their lockers
are. How do you think
Ben
would have handled a George Pickens type?
He probably would have went on to Joe Starkey and
Ron
Pony
Show.
Pony Show. And
George
say,
would have been running. He said, George ran the wrong route there.
Here's one more.
A little shallow.
Here's Paul in Pittsburgh on the state of the Steelers. Hello, Paul.
I'm a kid that watched Franco and Joe Green and Chuck Knoll. And I remember Ernie Holmes shooting at cars on the turnpike. You know? I mean,
what a
where is your pride?
Those were the real Steelers back then.
Yes.
Wait. He's like shooting at a helicopter.
He was shooting at a police helicopter. He got it a little bit
where
wrong.
Where is your prime? Where are the people nowadays that don't shoot cars on the turnpike?
I remember the real Steelers. They'd get hauled off in cuffs.
All right,
I would like to meet that guy.
Mark, quick predictions on the four games. Give me the winners of the games this weekend.
I like Baltimore.
Me too.
I think Kansas City, but I think it's going to be closer than what you think.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, I'm just going straight.
Chalk.
Philly and Detroit. Okay.
Yeah, Philly and Detroit. Lions.
Check
Eagles.
Check Mark out on X on the Steelers and read his work on pro wrestling at WWE.com. SmackDown tonight. He'll be all over that.
What Pouncey would have laid on Pickens if he was there.
Coming up next, we will kick around something that Mark brought up about being bad on purpose. But first, a message from Mulsey.
It is a message from me. Thanks, Pony. It's actually a message directed at a lot of different people. So if you're out there, blue collar, we know because of Pony's existence on this show, we have a ton of blue collar listeners. So if you're a contractor, you're building kitchens for a living, for example, or maybe you're somebody looking to get your kitchen redone and you're starting to look at options, or maybe you're the DIY type who can actually do something like that yourself. Either way, probably one of the biggest impediments right now for you is the wait time on cabinets. Like, it's like 8 to 12 weeks out. That is no bueno. You don't want that, right? But I've got an answer for you. I've got the solution for you. Choice Cabinet. They have over 65,000 cabinets in stock, high quality, Amish designed, all wood, 10 different paints and stains. And they deliver inside your house or your apartment on their own trucks to make sure there's no damage. So it's family owned. They care. And delivery again in as little as 3 days. If you need cabinets, the choice is clear. ChoiceCabinet.com.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.